Tim had emailed the elders and indicated that he wasn't feeling well and wouldn't be able to teach today, and asked us if anybody had anything on their heart. And we got together and kind of looked at each other, and none of us at that moment had anything on our hearts. And so I said I would trust that the Lord would put something on my heart. And so Saturday morning I was driving home from work, and was listening to some music that kids had put together for me for my birthday once on a CD, and looking at the clouds, and I heard this song. It impacted me as I was looking at the clouds. I noticed that there was a distinct difference in the clouds. There were some that were very dark and almost black, and then there were clouds that were that looked like they were almost on fire. They were radiant and just and beaming with the glory of the Lord, and I was struck by that. And the song "I Can See Clearly Now" came on. And as I started to listen to the song, I was moved for a number of reasons, because of what I was watching in the sky, seeing what God had done. And let me just read this passage in Psalm 19. "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands." I've seen that so many times when I just look up at the sky and see a sunset or a sunrise or a starry sky or the moon, and I'll just be in awe of His handiwork and His awesome power, and His majesty and His glory. And so I was watching watching the clouds a little more than I should have as I was driving, and I thought of why there was this difference between these clouds. And the difference was the way the sun was shining upon the clouds, the way the light was hitting the clouds. And I remember it was Friday night because it was sunset. So the sun was setting, and I was watching this, and some of the clouds were, like I said, just resplendent with glory. And I thought of how it all came together for me right there in the car, that this is the message that I wanted to bring as a way of encouragement to the body, because of the difference between these clouds, that some were dark and gray and almost black and ominous and foreboding, and some were full of light and almost just this warm, glorious picture to them. And I'm taking a risk here. I need all the help I can get in communicating these things. So I, not only do I have video, but I have some audio too. I want us to listen to this song, and just listen to the words, and then I'll explain why I'm going to do the teaching on this song. So just go ahead and listen to the words. One of the reasons that song impacted me the way that it did is it evokes memories of my mother. My mom died of cancer when I was 13. And she went through a long process. She had lung cancer and had surgery and had almost all of one lung removed. And then it was before they had developed chemotherapy, or before they had perfected it. And we lived up in the Bay Area, up in Northern California. And in order to get chemotherapy treatment, she had to go to Tijuana, Mexico, because it wasn't approved by the FDA yet. And so she had to go down there, and she and my dad were driving back from Mexico, And the song came on the radio. And my mom said to my dad, it's just like this was her hope, that the words were, you know, I can see clearly now that the pains are going to be gone and the bad feelings are going to disappear. There's going to be a rainbow. There's going to be bright, bright days. Well, the pain didn't go away, and bad feelings didn't go away. Cancer didn't go away, and she wound up dying. But the reason that the song struck me the way that it did is that by God's mercy, we have hope, a real hope. She had put her hope, and I understand this, I don't even know where my mom wound up in the very end. She had a Catholic upbringing and a wonderful, wonderful woman. But I don't know where she wound up at the very end. I don't know where she is. I hope that she's with the Lord, but I don't know. But the message to me and to us is we do know where we're headed. That this song does speak to us, that it isn't some vain hope of some miracle drug that's going to cure us from cancer that my mom had placed her hope in. We have a hope that is real and sure, and that when we hear those words, that we can rejoice and that we can fully embrace the words of that song. You know, the song says talks about after there being a storm, just like the ones that we've seen lately. That the clouds blinded the writer of the song, just as that can happen to us. The clouds can blind our vision. There's going to be hope. The song speaks of hope, and there's really only one hope. We sung of that today, that Jesus is our hope. It says that the pain is gone. You know, there is going to be pain. I imagine that there's people here right now. I know that there's people here right now that are experiencing pain and bad feelings. But the promise isn't that this physical pain or these bad feelings just poof, they go away. But the promise to us is if we will see the light, if we will see clearly, then everything grows dim in the surpassing value of knowing Him. That everything else won't even matter. That the pain and the bad feelings, it's as if they go away. It talks about the rainbow she had been praying for. And the rainbow, I was hoping that there'd be a rainbow yesterday so I could take a picture of the rainbow and put it up there. But because the rainbow is such an awesome, awesome phenomenon. That God created the rainbow for the very purpose of showing us, this is my promise. I've made a covenant with you, and I am going to keep the promise. And then it talks of blue skies ahead. And you know, when you hear the song, I just love that song. I mean, I love the tune. I love the words. I just love that song. And I love when it talks about nothing but blue skies. And what's ahead of us is nothing but the bluest of blue skies. I forgot to click. You know, it's all about perspective. And there's a song. There's another song. I'm not going to play it. The Don't Worry, Be Happy. And that's not my message. This isn't a message, don't worry, be happy, everything's going to be okay. The message is not one of, just click your heels 3 times and say there's no place like home and then everything will go away and everything will be all better. The bad feelings only disappear when we embrace God's perspective on the clouds that come into our life. There's purpose in the rain clouds. There's purpose in the storm. There's purpose in all of this. Let me read Zechariah. Find Zechariah. Don't go to Zechariah very often. Zechariah 10:1. Ask rain from the Lord at the time of the spring rain, the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and He will give them showers of rain, vegetation in the field to each man. You know, it's the Lord who makes the storm clouds. It's the Lord who brings the rain. And the rain is contained within the storm clouds. And at times we can see the dark, foreboding, ominous storm clouds and not welcome those. But as I'm going to talk about in a little bit here, there's a purpose in the storm clouds. He brings rain from the storm clouds. I remember I was talking to somebody the other night about the Northridge earthquake. Was it 12 years ago? And when it hit, right afterwards, we had just moved from the house we were living in, which is the house the bourgeois now live in, three doors down, and had just finished moving in. And at the time, I owned both homes, hadn't finished selling the house to the bourgeois. And so as soon as I could, I found my insurance policy, and I was reading my insurance policy, and I thought, I'm done. I am absolutely financially ruined. I had stretched myself to get into this new house, and the way I was reading the insurance policy was that before they pay a penny, you have to pay all this deductible. And I'm like, I don't have this deductible. I said, it's over. I'm finished. And it turned out that that great disaster turned out to be the biggest financial blessing that has ever happened in my life. It was a huge windfall. Now, this is not to say that every trial or difficult circumstance that you come across is going to yield a financial harvest produce such a gigantic financial return for you. But I am convinced that every single difficult, hard circumstance, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever it be, that whatever God brings into your life, it is intended to bring a great return. Let me read from 1 Peter, first chapter of 1 Peter, verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. God desires to bring, He has a purpose in everything that He does. I don't know if all of you have had the opportunity to fly in an airplane and get to the point where you're above the clouds. It's spectacular. To be flying above the clouds and you see the sun shining down upon the clouds, it's glorious. And the last time I looked at that, or that happened, it was a real thick cloud cover, flew through the clouds and above the clouds, and I realized, wow, what a difference. I'm on the other side of the clouds. When we took off, it was overcast and gray and kind of just gloomy. Flew through the clouds, and it was this great and glorious bright blue sky, the sun shining down upon these big poofy white tops of the clouds. And I thought, well, it's all a matter of perspective. I just have a different perspective. Before I was underneath the clouds, and the clouds were between the sun and me, and now I'm above the clouds, and I can see the sun and the blue sky, and I also get to see the clouds. You know, the sun is always there. It's, you know, when you're a kid, my mom used to call days like this, where the sun would come in and out from the clouds, she called it peekaboo day, that the sun's playing peekaboo. And I remember as a kid, I was thinking, what, is the sun hiding, or is it the sun went away? And you kind of get this picture that you sometimes lose sight of the fact that the sun is there. It's a cloudy day, and it's not a sunny day. Well, it's a sunny day. We just don't see the sun, and it's just behind the clouds. And he is in the clouds. It's read out of Psalm 104, verse 3. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. You know, with so much, we have learned so much here in the 21st century, and seeing the, they can predict a storm within hours, a week ahead of time. And you can see the clouds coming down on a satellite picture on the internet, and they have all this technology, and we think we know so much that sometimes we lose sight of, you know, back when these words were written, when it talks of he lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, he makes the clouds his chariot. You know, some people read that and say, oh, that's this ancient, archaic, you know, before these people really understood how clouds form and what makes the clouds, and you know, these superstitious people would look up at the clouds and say, oh, God's riding his chariot up in the clouds. We lose sight of the fact that God is graciously displaying his glory and a piece of who he is in his creation, and it's in the sky, it's in the clouds. And we don't, I don't think we're ever to lose sight of that. That's something for us to keep in mind. Let's go to Job 38. Talk about God being in the storm. Verse 30. Water becomes hard like stones, and the surface of the deep is imprisoned. And then, sorry, I think I wrote down the wrong verse there. Let's go 40, verse 6. It says, this is God answering Job when Job was complaining about his plight, and God says, it says this, then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. God answers Job out of the storm. God's in the storm. Sometimes we see the storms in our life. I mean, I love the rain. And so when I see the rain, I don't doubt that God's in the storm. I love the rain. I see it as a blessing. But the picture I'm trying to paint isn't, you know, for us to get all excited about that. Don't worry, God's in the rainstorm. Don't be discouraged and, you know, see God in the rainstorm. The picture I want to help us see is that God is in the storms of our life. The storms that blow into our life, and they're cold and they're wet and they're dark and discouraging. That I want us to remember that God is in the storm. God will speak to us in the storm. The all of this is I wanted to point our attention to the fact that it's really a matter of light. And Some of you know that I am a rank amateur photographer. I only call myself a photographer because I take a lot of photographs. And I love to take pictures. And the Lord showed me something this morning. It's kind of a side note. And I'll joke around with people and especially a joke around with the kids about my photographic prowess I'll take a picture and it'll be a nice picture and I'll kind of gloat over this picture. And the Lord revealed to me this morning that that's pride and it's not good. And what he showed me was, you are proud about taking a picture of something like that. You know, I took that picture and I come home and you can't see it real well in this lighting, but I put it on my screen and go, oh, that's an awesome picture. And I get proud about this picture I took, and he revealed to me, so let me get this straight, Brian. You take this really sophisticated, expensive camera that I provided for you, and then you go outside and take a picture of what I've done in the sky. You come home and you put it on your computer and you see it and you go, wow, look what I did. Look at this picture. It's like Barney Five getting, it'd be like if he took a picture of this beautiful architectural feat of somebody and everyone's looking at these pictures, marveling over this picture, and Barney's going, yeah, and like thinking they're all excited about the picture he took of the architectural marvel, and Andy's saying, Barney, they're excited about the building, not your picture. And you didn't make the building. You took a picture of it. But the thing about photography that I have learned is obviously, he showed me this morning, I'm not to take any pride in this because I have nothing to do with it except pushing my finger down on a button. But he's shown me when to take pictures and the time to take pictures that are going to be the most effective pictures it's when the lighting is right. And to take pictures, the type of pictures I like to take of landscape and of his creation, it can only be taken when the natural lighting is right. I can't throw up get a bunch of giant flash bulbs and go out to a meadow and say, okay, and hope it illuminates the meadow just right and say, oh, that was perfect. It has to be the light that he creates, the light that just is part of his creation. And he's designed it so that it's not always there. That light isn't there, you know, 24 hours a day. I can't just go out any time during the day and say, oh, I'll just take a picture. Like if I wanted to take a picture right now of something that I saw that was beautiful, there'd be nothing to it. Because the light is shrouded by the clouds and it's just not the right lighting. The clouds that we see on a day like these last few days, if you just look at the sun in the sky, I mean, it's resplendent, it's bright. It's probably not a good idea to look at it for too long. And it's wonderful. But you don't typically, on a day with not a cloud in the sky, you don't typically go, gosh, that just is so gorgeous, that sun just shining in the sky. Typically, what will happen is when you see clouds in the sky and the sun beaming either on the clouds or through the clouds, it will catch your attention and you'll say, wow, that is spectacular. And that what I saw in that was, you know, without the clouds, I mean, God's glory is going to be displayed no matter what he does, and it's displayed on a beautiful sunny day, and it's displayed on a completely overcast day. But he uses clouds in a special way to highlight his glory, to bring attention to his glory. I don't know if you've ever seen those days where the clouds, the sun is shining through the clouds, and you can see the rays of sun coming down through the clouds. And, you know, that when God highlights or contrasts His glory with the clouds, it's spectacular. And I believe in our lives, He does the same thing. He allows the clouds or the storms, the trials, the difficult circumstances, the things that we don't like to accentuate and to highlight His glory. Said it's all a matter of light. I'm going to read several passages on light, God's light. First one's in Psalm 36. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. The fountain of life is here. I saw it as, you know, there's fountains in the heavens, the clouds. And the clouds or the fountain of are a type of fountain of life. They contain the life that comes out of the heavens and pours onto the earth and waters the ground and it brings forth life. And he says, in your light, Lord, we see light. It's in the light of God's truth that we see light. Let's go to Isaiah 60. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 and then 19 and 20. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And then in verse 19 and 20, no longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be over. This passage here talks about the glory of the Lord rising upon you. That there's a darkness, a deep darkness covering the earth, a deep darkness covering the people, like a deep darkness of the dark clouds. And but it says that He will rise upon you. He will shine upon you. And so that nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now this is a passage that talks about, I believe, I'm not going to get into an end times teaching, but it points to the reign of Christ on the earth and that God fulfilling His covenant and promise to His people. Well, I believe that we are to live this out right now. That God, this promise that was made to His people here through Isaiah, is a promise He's made to us, His people. That He will rise and shine upon us. And that it should be in such a way that kings, that nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. That we should be that city set upon a hill. That we should be a bright and shining light for others to see. He says, there'll be a dark covering over you. But the Lord, you won't even need the sun. You won't even need to have the sun shine on you in just a special way. And you know, there's like two special times during the day to take pictures. And you don't need that. Because the Lord will rise upon you. The Lord will shine upon you. The Lord will be your light. Let's go to John 1. 4. Read through verse 9. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. And then in chapter 8 of John, in verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light that will rise and shine upon us. Jesus is the one who enlightens every man. He is the one who will illuminate the clouds in our life so that people will look and say, wow. You know, they will not be able to pass by and not notice. If we allow the light of Christ to shine in and through us, it will be that type of resplendent light that will affect others. And that light will shine most brightly and most clearly and most obviously through the difficult and trying times. Just as I was saying that, just the Lord put upon my heart. I remember when Tim and Francis had lost their first baby. And I'll never forget the way they responded to that. And the way that they trusted God in the midst of something so dark and so gloomy and so sad and so depressing, the way that they were able to put their hope in God in the midst of that, it shone brighter than the noonday. It shone so brightly through that circumstance that the glory of God became so evident in their life. Read another passage out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And read a chunk of it here and read verses 3 through 10. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. Again, here, God shows us the light shines through the darkness. This is the same light that shines in our heart. The lost don't see the light of the gospel. We, of all people, should see it more clearly and allow it to shine through us. We're earthen vessels. We're clay pots. And we are afflicted in every way. We're persecuted. We have trials and challenges. But it says here, but we don't despair. That we should put our hope in God and that He will shine upon us and He will shine through us. The rainbow we've been praying for, the rainbow we've been praying for is this picture I've been trying to paint and trying to put up here, is the light of the gospel, the light of God's truth shining upon those things in our lives that discourage us, that depress us, that we sometimes despair over. That if we can understand and embrace the truth of God's glory shining in and through us in difficult circumstances, this will be the rainbow of our hope. This will be the rainbow we've been praying for. This is the sign of God's promise. And it will give us an attitude and a perspective of nothing but blue skies ahead. Let's go to Psalm 43, verse 3. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. The psalmist here prays out to God, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. This should be our prayer when we are covered by the darkness of the clouds in our life, when we're covered by those dark clouds. It should be, Lord, send out your light and your truth and let them lead me. Let your light and truth shine upon me in such a way that I demonstrate your glory. As I had mentioned before, the pain, the despair, the discouragement, in the song it talks about, it says that the I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. All the bad feelings have disappeared. You know, like I said, the pain and bad feelings, they don't disappear. They're not gone. But we're able to endure. We can say, I can make it now. I can make it through this now because I can see clearly now. My eyes have been opened. I can see clearly the truth of God's purpose in all that He brings me, that these trials, these tribulations, this difficult situation I'm in has been brought to me for His purpose, and now I can see clearly I can make it. I didn't think I could make it before. When all I saw was dark clouds and storm and rain and that's all I saw on the horizon, I didn't feel like I could make it. I didn't want to go forward. I didn't have any hope. But now I have the hope of the truth that of God's promise to sustain me and to keep me and to use these things in my life. The rainbow being, as I had mentioned, the sign of His covenant. It's a sign of His promise that He will keep it. And the bright blue skies. What awaits us are the brightest blue skies we can imagine. We've had the privilege, the blessing of being able to go to some really, really beautiful places. And we were in Maine in October, but 2 years ago, and about a year and a half ago. And I remember looking up at the sky and thinking, I've never seen a sky that blue. I mean, it was the brightest, deepest blue I'd ever seen. And I have this picture in my mind. I wish I could just bring you all there and say, see, look at that. That's the sky I'm trying to paint the picture for you. But that sky pales in comparison to what awaits us. And God wants to remind us of what is on the other side. God wants us to have hope in that what awaits us are the brightest, bluest skies that we could imagine. The clouds in our life will not return to Him void. He doesn't send out the clouds in our life and go, "Oh, I missed that one. That person didn't respond the way I wanted him to, or she didn't respond the way I wanted her to, so it didn't really accomplish what I wanted it to." God says that that when He sends the rain, it will accomplish that which He desires. Let me read that passage, and it'll be the last passage, and we'll close here. It's in Isaiah. It's chapter 55. I'm going to read from verses 8 through 13. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnish seed to the sower and bread to the eater, So will my word which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. And instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord, for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off." You know, like I'd said before, it is a matter of perspective. It's a matter of God enlightening our hearts to see this truth that of His promise for us, that He sends these things to us to accomplish His will. It says, without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Everything He sends, it will accomplish the matter for which He sent it to us. And, here it says, "The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." Now, I believe in that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God, and that we're to interpret it literally whenever we can, but I don't believe that the trees are actually clapping and the hills are break forth into shouts of joy. But I do believe that from the perspective of the believer, it's as if the trees are clapping. It's as if the hills are shouting for joy, because if you look at your circumstances and say, woe is me, how come this is always happening to me, and why can't I get past this, or why is this happening to me? Instead of trusting and putting your hope that God will accomplish what He desires to accomplish in your life, then you go outside and it's as if the trees are clapping, it's as if the hills are shouting for joy, and it's all a matter of my perspective. Am I living below the overcast skies, or am I allowing God to bring me to a place to lift me up and to raise me up to the point where I'm above the clouds and to see the bright shining sky shining down upon the clouds, and then I can hear the trees clapping, I can hear the hills shouting for joy, and everything takes a whole different perspective, and everything changes. And it's then that we can say, I can see clearly now. And that all obstacles, I can see all the obstacles in my way, and they're nothing. They're nothing anymore. Because I see God's purpose. I see what God's trying to accomplish through this. And I can see them, and there are obstacles, but I believe I can make it now. I believe I can make it now. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that the light of the truth of your word would shine upon us, that the light of the gospel, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ would shine upon our hearts and our minds so that our perspectives would be changed. So instead of seeing the dark and gloomy, foreboding, threatening clouds, that we would see the resplendent glory, the radiant light shining forth from you. And God, that we as clay vessels would be used by you to demonstrate and to display and to reflect your glory so that you would accomplish your purpose in and through us individually and corporately as a body, as a lampstand, God. That this lampstand would burn brighter and brighter, that you would accomplish your purpose through us.